Let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to lead us in our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of life. And we thank you for bringing us here together in fellowship to help build this community. We ask for wisdom and guidance for our leadership, and we ask for support from our community. And Father God, just be with us each and every moment. Bless this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, let the record reflect that all members of court are present this morning. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our Commissioners' Court agenda.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, we have a very, very special guest this morning. We're going to do that one first, if you don't mind. We have a resident of the Woodlands that's here today.
And Ms. Simone Biles, if you'll stand up. Simone, you are an inspiration to this entire community, to the state, to the nation. Someone that not only overcomes obstacles, but has just been a shining light of greatness of America. Thank you for inspiring the youth, inspiring me, inspiring the entire community to see someone with the determination and the tenacity that you had to go in and to compete and win at the level that you did is simply amazing. So today, I'd like to read a resolution in honor of your accomplishments.
Plus, you can dance, Commissioner.
That's right. That's right.
Really dance.
I do have to tell a quick joke. I just heard Commissioner Metter say something that I never thought he would say in a million years. He asked, "Is this how you take a selfie?"
That's really not what he said. Does anybody know?
It was a first.
Simone did it for me.
And I didn't help him.
So, a U.S. Olympic gymnast Simone Biles proclamation. Whereas Montgomery County, Precinct 3, Texas, proudly serves as the home of the United States Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, and whereas Simone Biles represented the United States in the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and whereas Simone Biles led the U.S. women's gymnastics team, nicknamed the Final Five, to win the gold medal in the team all-round, and whereas Simone Biles claimed the gold medal in the individual all-around vault and floor exercise, where she performed her signature move, the Biles. Do you want to go? Whereas Simone Biles also claimed the bronze medal in the balance beam, and whereas Simone Biles is to be commended for a brilliant and unforgettable Olympic performance that made Montgomery County, Texas proud. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Commissioners' Court of Montgomery County and staff that we honor and recognize July 25th, 2017 as Simone Biles Day, and we encourage all residents and businesses in Montgomery County to recognize your outstanding achievements.
Motion.
I move. That's a motion.
I second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Uh-huh.
It is unanimous.
Help me.
Absolutely.
And we have a couple of things we'd like to bring to you, Simone.
Do you want Simone up here?
Yes, at the front. And then we'll get the whole court to come down and take a couple of pictures.
Simone, we have a few hours. You're bigger than me.
And Simone, if you'll give us a couple of minutes to sign a proclamation, we'll get that to you. We'll box this up and we'll thank you again so much.
Yeah, if we can, if everybody will sign one of those proclamations with this Sharpie, that'd be great.
I guess we'll sign this with it.
No, Superman can leap buildings in a single bound. We watched her bound over everything over and over. So, congratulations. Thank you again for being with us. Okay. Our second item under proclamations is Parole Officers Appreciation Day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Step up.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Bill Kleiber with Welcome Back Texas. We help victims of crime, prisoners, and correction professionals, and I'm here to read a resolution for Parole Officer Appreciation Day, which we're going to feed. It's an annual event. And we do this across Texas at other parole offices just to recognize them, appreciate them, and let them know that they can find joy and peace in a stressful environment. 2017 Parole Officer Appreciation Day. Whereas Parole Officer Appreciation Day is an annual event organized under the leadership of Bill Kleiber in conjunction with Welcome Back Texas Ministries and Pastor Jeff Williams with Eagles Nest Church, featuring reports, testimonies, and information recognizing the value of parole officers and encouraging parole officers to find joy and peace in a stressful environment. And whereas the district parole office is a complex entity that involves close supervision of recently returning citizens while facilitating residential, financial, relational, medical, psychological, and spiritual needs. Many of our returning citizens are affected severely by this maze of issues that seem to have no solution and no real path to a favorable conclusion. And whereas we are blessed to have some of the most professional, studious, concerned, and knowledgeable parole officers available to help us in this quest for the reconstruction and reentry of formerly incarcerated individuals into Montgomery County. And whereas Parole Officer Appreciation Day is the opportunity for us to come together and recognize parole officers for their tremendous service as they protect, serve, and reduce recidivism in Montgomery County, providing access to a broad spectrum of local resources, including free medical and mental health screenings, expert counseling on housing, employment, benefits, and legal assistance services. And whereas we are honored to welcome parole officers, family, and friends to celebrate Parole Officer Appreciation Day as we extend best wishes for a successful and memorable event. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Commissioners Court of Montgomery County, Texas, proclaims great pride in recognizing our local parole officers. Your service is worthy of the respect, admiration, and commendation of Montgomery County, Texas.
A second.
Questions or comments?
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Kleiber. Okay. Under County Clerk, Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated July 11th.
Move. Second.
Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, under item 9, Commissioners, under consent, I have no changes unless there's an item that any of you would like to bring forward. Other than that, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I move on consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. under citizens. Now, for anyone who would like to address the court today on an item that is on today's agenda, there's been some that have signed up. For those of you that weren't aware of the process, we'll recognize those later that would like to speak on items that are on today's agenda. Real briefly, before we start, I'll read a comment here. We now invite the public for comments on items on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to department heads or elected officials. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So, that being said, we'll give you 3 minutes to make a comment, and we will not be allowed to respond to you. But there are three people that have signed, actually two that have signed up on today's agenda items. One is Hannelore Jones. Did I pronounce that right, Ms. Jones? If you'll step to the podium, please.
Hi, I'm Hannelore Jones, and people just call me Lori. Thank you, Judge Doyle and commissioners, for hearing me speak. I came here first on an unrelated issue. I'm speaking on 9A1, item C5, under purchasing about inmate phone calls, under the auditor's report, about the GEO Group. So I came here on an unrelated matter a couple weeks ago, and I heard them talking about the GEO Group and Joe Corley Detention Center, and I didn't understand what it was, so I wanted to find out more, and I did, and I'm really shocked. So I wanted to see if we can put it on a future agenda. And as I understood, it was originally for immigration and customs. I want everybody to understand what's going on up there. So it was for immigration and customs enforcement detention for deportees. And also, originally, it was for overflow from our jail, but it's not anymore. There's 1,500 beds that are just for detention of undocumented workers and aliens. And so now they're going to build another one with another 1,000 beds. A GEO private prison group is running it, and they have a really bad reputation. So I also want to talk about it in reference to another agenda item, which is the prayer, and that Jesus told us that there are really only two important commandments. One is to love and serve thy God, and the other one is to treat thy neighbor as thyself. And these people are living under really bad conditions in there, and there are crimes being committed against them. And some of them have been convicted of crimes previously and are like dangerous criminals, and some of them are just the people that like mow our lawns. And this is Texas, and I grew up here, and we've lived in peace with our neighbors to the south for a really long time, and we've benefited, we've had the economic benefit of their hard, inexpensive labor, and it's just, I feel wrong not to take care of them now. And I would like it addressed in a faith-based way so that we can have, if there's no oversight from the county, and I understand the county's taking $500,000 a year from GEO Group, that we at least allow a faith-based group to get in there and find out what's going on, and pause before we increase the beds to 2,500, but mainly to get in there and see what's going on. And if we could have a panel put together of faith-based people who would, when Jesus went on to enumerate the things we're supposed to do, like feed the poor, he specifically mentioned visiting the imprisoned. And so I would really ask that we address this in a future meeting, it be put on the agenda. And finally, I'd like to just say about, there's item 15 about the animal shelter. I notice you put it on every single time. And if we care enough about the animals that are residents of Montgomery County, we should also be caring about all the residents of Montgomery County. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Our second person signed up to speak on one of today's agenda items is Dennis Tibbs.
Hi, Dennis Tibbs, Magnolia, and this is not just an agenda item for today, but it's a concern that I have. Most of the time when I look at our finances, I've been looking online at some things, and most of my comments would come from the Texas Association of Counties, which apparently we're a member of. Montgomery County is not Harris County. We're a small fraction of that, small fraction of Dallas and Tarrant, but in our spending, we try to emulate these large counties. If you look at the Texas Association of Counties, we find Montgomery County is number 10 in population, but we're number 4 in spending. And one of the areas that we spend a lot is on salaries. And my suspicion is if we pay more than we should on salaries, we're possibly paying more than we should on other items. And if you look at the first chart in that report from Texas Association of Counties, it lists those salaries. And we're in the same range as those three largest counties. In some cases, we're even bigger than those counties. And if you look at some of our smaller neighbors, which are also members, Grimes, Waller, and Liberty, our salaries are almost the same as those three counties combined. And to me, it's something we need to look at, and we need to remember we're not Harris County, we're not Liberty either, but we're somewhere in the middle, and we shouldn't be topping those larger counties. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kitts.
Those were the only two that I had signed up on an item that's on today's agenda. Now, there is one lady that has signed up, Cheryl Langley, on an item that's not on today's agenda. We will have another segment at the end of Commissioner's Court for those people that would like to address court on items not on the agenda. So is there anyone that did not sign up today that would like to address an item that's on today's agenda? Okay, moving forward then. Item 11A, Sheriff.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Under 11A, we ask that you consider approve the renewal of the State Automated Victim Notification System, also known as VINE, contract between the Office of the Attorney General in Montgomery County for the fiscal year 2018. No county funds are required, and authorize Judge Doyle to sign the paperwork related to the grant.
I move.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
B, we ask that you consider and approve an amendment to the agreement between HGAC and Montgomery County pertaining to law enforcement training. The amendment provides an additional $43,000 in funding with no county match. Original agreement was approved in Commissioner's Court on April 11th of this year. Please allocate all HGAC reimbursements to the Academy budget 56018 and authorize Judge Doyle to sign the related documents.
Move it.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Tax assessor collector, Ms. McCray.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. Under item 12A, I would ask the court to consider and approve notification of default with 30 days to cure under the tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Forest Ridge Office Condominiums.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Great presentation. Library, Carrie Lynn.
Gentlemen, we are asking you to appoint or reappoint members of the Reconsideration Committee. This is the group that reviews juvenile and young adult materials when there is a specific request. And we have four names to put forward that have been either nominated or supported by the individual precincts. Those are Joanne Arnold, Dorothy Woodall, Kathy Motherwell, and Melissio Franco.
Move.
I'd ask you to
second.
Appoint.
Question or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
Elections.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to take both of these together if I could. I'd like you to consider and accept the certification of sufficient qualified signatures on the petition for a local option election to legalize the legal sale of all alcoholic beverages, including mixed beverages, in Justice of the Peace Precinct Number 4. The petition was filed on June 20th, 2017. And then I'd like you to consider and approve the order of a November 7th, 2017 local option election to legalize the legal sale of all alcoholic beverages, including mixed beverages, in JP4.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments, Commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harvey.
Animal shelter.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
We're here this morning to ask the court to consider and discuss the authorization to release the funds held back in FY17 for the animal shelter budget, which was approved by the Commissioner's Court on September 6, 2016. We have some documentation from the auditors if you guys would like to review that as well. Basically, we're needing the funds in order to continue paying the expenses that we have and the salaries and everything for the budget for this year.
What amount of that are you requesting?
With the auditors, the documentation that we had was around $790,000 in order to finish out the year. That's an estimate.
Where are those funds, Phyllis?
They're still sitting in your contingency department, but they're in a separate line item from your normal contingency. We reserved that whenever we went through budget hearings last year.
That part of the $1 million we held back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about, yes, sir.
Your current budget is what,
2.3.
I don't know how you would spend $780,000 or $90,000 in the last 2 months of the budget year. One of the things I'd like to do, Phyllis, is make it easy for them to use any of their unused salary funds so far this year to cover any expenses. And if you could work with them to kind of move any of their supplies around. I went through their budget. I noticed in some areas they have money available and some lines they don't. I would say that we almost go court by court. I just couldn't see giving them $790,000 for 2 months when their entire budget's $2.3 million.
We did sit down with them on this projection that Aaron is talking about here. And so we have worked with them on rearranging lines that and what their expected expenditures are through the end of the year.
You have that number?
That is the 788 that he's talking about.
And it includes, is there some capital funding?
I can hand
it does include. It does include things like some assumptions that all positions would remain filled for the entirety of the year, which we all know due to the nature of work at the animal shelter is an unrealistic assumption, but it's one that we have to work with because theoretically they could. So if what y'all could give is, as you discussed, Commissioner Nowak, some latitude in moving funds from salaries, it probably wouldn't be quite that much, but it is still not an insignificant number.
So maybe we can move with $200,000 for now and then kind of let it out more slowly?
I'd like some explanation, documentation of where the money's going to be going as well.
If it's sitting there in a separate line, and you think that's what it's going to take to get them through the year, Phyllis?
We believe that it wouldn't exceed that amount, Commissioner.
Huh?
We believe that it wouldn't exceed that amount. That's
pretty
the most
big
that
ticket
we
items, any capital expenditures or that need to be done out of that money?
We did sit down with them on any anticipated expenditures through the rest of the year, and there was nothing that we didn't brainstorm already.
I move we put it back in their budget. I don't know. Maybe you've already got a motion.
I was going to just move on $200,000, and they can come back as needed.
This is going to shock everybody, but I agree with Commissioner Nowak here. How can you spend $790,000 in 2 months and your budget is 2.3 for the whole year?
Yeah, part of it was that we wanted to show that our intake. So our expenses don't follow in like a normal monthly trend. The expenses kind of follow our intake. And so as you can see on the chart, that which is what I was going to hand out, is basically from February on is when the intake starts to increase. So that's when the expenses start to increase as well. So the spending is usually lower in the winter, fall months of the year, and then the cost starts to go up. So you start to see more expenses this time of year versus other times of the year, and that's kind of why these monies weren't needed prior to this.
Are you in a deficit anywhere in any of your line items now?
Yes, we're in a deficit some of our line items, on individual line items, not on aggregate. 73 or 7400 type.
What's your budget department number again?
6331.
So what's the shortfall on salaries? Do we know that number offhand?
Currently, there is sufficient funding in salaries. What we anticipate, if they would fill all of those positions,
right,
would be $200,000 through the rest of the year. And that's salary and benefits that would be associated with it.
And I agree with what he's saying. The intake
operation
now is going to go. It's going through the roof, and
it is.
It's going to require more personnel. But I don't understand about the other $500,000 without some. It's explanation of a capital outlay, large item. I'd like to see better.
Are you going to be coming back every court to get more money? I mean,
I'd be satisfied if they came back and told us where they were going to spend the other $500,000.
Huh?
I said, I'd be satisfied if they just came back one time and told us where they were going to spend the $500,000. I don't think they have to come back every court. I'd just like to know where the other money's going besides the shortfall in salaries.
We can give you the report that the auditor put together in conjunction with the auditors as well, which will explain the line items and where that money is.
And you have that right now?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well.
Yeah.
We've also talked with vendors as well, and they've discussed the increases across the board with medical supplies as well, and the range on that's been about 3 to 7% in increases on that.
The on your Phyllis, do you have an expenditure status report for them?
I can run you one, Commissioner.
That way we can actually see what they have left in each of their line items and a percentage of it.
What's the FY 2018 budget?
For 2017, we adopted $2,408,230.
What's it proposed for right
now?
Well, they're asking for $3,515,000, but
wouldn't make up that difference in that.
The million, perfect. Thank you, Phyllis. So there's
if we did half this court to get them through, and then come back next court, look at it. I mean, half of it would surely get you to the next court.
Of course it would, Commissioner.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that
the attempt was to not have to come back to the court over and over again for something that
they
understand is there. So if you wanted to give them half of it now while they could go give you more detail of their anticipated expenditures through the rest of the year, then I'm sure that would at least get them through.
This is his first big, you know, ask, other than he's been up for some grants or stuff, but just in the future, when you're going to bring something like this to court, just know that we need some documentation so we have time to review it so we can make a decision. So
I can amend the motion to give them half. That's fine.
Okay.
That's doable.
And then get a kind of a detailed review of what you're looking at the balance for.
Sure.
Okay. So your motion is for half of that request?
Second.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners?
So that's $394,000?
That's better.
Half of that, yeah, whatever it was. Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Purchasing. Kelly.
Real quick, too, one of our newest hires is with us today. Gilbert Palermo is our new purchasing agent for Montgomery County. Gilbert, welcome to have you with us this morning.
Judge, I think today is also George's
last day.
Official last day. So thank you for your service to Montgomery County at purchasing, George.
I'll tell you a little story about George back when Julie and I first started back in January '93. If it would not have been for George, I don't know how we'd have got through the year. But George, thank you for your assistance and your patience that year. But I know we wore you out. So good luck to you. Thank you. George is moving to Spain, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Are you packed? You already gone? You just hadn't left town yet, huh? Okay. Well, we wish you well, George, and thank you for your
Absolutely.
Service.
Absolutely.
Okay, commissioners, judge. All right, take all appropriate action to approve the following change order to Smith & Company for Rayford Road widening and railroad grade separation from Richard Roads to SH-99 for changes to Geneva Outfall Storm Sewer Construction, the storm sewer construction associated with the Wild Rose Commercial Development, for an additional amount of $1,445,569.10 for Precinct 3.
Move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments?
I'm just curious, Commissioner, is this the Rayford Road widening project on the bond issue, right?
Yes, sir.
Is this the one you came out in the paper saving all the money with?
Correct. And we still are. We had two issues with Rayford Road. And actually, Smith & Company's here somewhere. Right there.
Yeah.
And Klotz. They're both here. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to entertain them. But basically, we took in three parcels of land that were to be purchased with right-of-way funds. And we ended up working with BD's office and their attorney to provide storm sewer outfall for them in lieu of directly purchasing the property along with the swap. And then there were some design changes with the storm sewer that totaled about 3.5% for an extra $1.4 million, and Smith or Klotz can elaborate.
So this wasn't something that was missed. This was something that was added on?
No, I can, I'll address that.
If you would, step to the podium so that can, it can be recorded, please.
No, the calculations on the storm sewer for Geneva outfall is an error in the calculation. So we did miss that. There was a design change throughout the project, and when we put the bid form together, we went to a previous number before the design change and used the wrong number.
We as in your firm?
Correct.
Okay.
BD, you want to address the portion that was related to the not purchasing the land directly?
When we initially sent the initial eminent domain offers on the three parcels, one of them did contain a commercial store on it, though there were an issue with restrictions on there. So we had a wide difference in appraisals. The original landowner's original appraisal for the three parcels was $1.2 million. Our appraisal was much less than that, about $200,000. But the difference was because of the highest and best use, and the restrictions were not legally removed, though there was an operating convenience store on one of the tracks. During the course of the negotiations, instead of taking that entire tract on which the convenience store was, the plan called for a reroute of Wild Rose Drive anyway through that tract, so we limited the taking or the acquisition to the portion for the new Wild Rose. The developer had bought property on both sides, and we were abandoning, or we did an exchange for the old Wild Rose Drive, and instead of paying the total cash outlay for this exchange and the limiting of the acquisition was $39,000. So the right-of-way cost went significantly down. Part of the purchase and sale agreement, part of the agreement was to provide drainage, allow them to drain into our new drainage facilities to go to Drainage District 6's ditch over there, which also which allows the developer not to have detention. He can drain directly into ours and take the developed flow without detention. So there's a benefit to the developer. As a benefit to the county for reducing the right-of-way cost, and also in some respects it allows greater density for the developer to develop there, so we won't have the drainage. It should in future years relate to an increase in values for that property as well.
But do we usually have a change order for somebody making a mistake and having us pay for it?
I don't know what the usual practice is. I haven't reviewed that contract with regard to that specific issue as to whether who would pay for a miscalculation such as that, if that's the case. So I can't answer that at this time, Commissioner.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. Any other questions or comments, Commissioners?
Hmm.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I oppose.
One opposed. Motion carries.
Items B and C, I'd like to take those together as presented on the agenda. And basically, we're just changing the names of positions.
Move on B and C.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Item D, consider and if appropriate, authorize the purchase of a new courier vehicle for the library up to a $50,000 purchase price, and we need to have a name to name a funding source.
I move contingency. Jerry, you want to address that?
Please.
I think last budget we asked Jerry if she would drive it till it died.
And it did.
And it did.
And the repairs are approximately a fourth of the cost of a new vehicle. Even the repair facility has said it's time for a new one. And we may have some funds that we could contribute, but we're needing this. It's part of our contractual obligation for resource sharing with our consortium members, the college and Harris County. We have a number of people who do have the opportunity to get resources from those locations. We share with them as part of our automation consortium. We're dead in the water. We are thankful to Custodial for the daily loan of equipment when they're not needing it, but we need to have our own vehicle to meet those obligations.
Well, you almost made it to the budget hearing. Just a couple hours away.
Just close. Tried my best, but we're
I think Mike.
Oh, did you already move? I guess one question I got is what type of vehicles for $50,000? I mean, a cargo van or something?
It's a box truck. It'll have
box
a Tommy
truck.
Lift and
a 16-foot box for carrying the tubs that we sort things.
Okay, the tubs need a Tommy lift. Okay.
Oh, books are heavy.
Got a second?
And we do have 90% of our circulations that are in tangible material.
Daily runner? Is it a daily runner? Or how many
daily
trips?
Runner. Do you run it daily?
Yes, we do. Over 100 miles. Per day.
Yeah, it's got
route.
275,000 miles.
It has 200, right under 245,000 miles. So
we got our
so
money
we
for
ran
that.
It till it went in the.
And this was one that was identified during budget hearings last year. There's a potential.
Yeah.
Of, right. I would encourage all department heads that are here and those that are listening as we go through budget later today, if you have items that are not on your budget but are cases like this where you're going to try to make it another year, make sure that we're aware of it so we can have that kind of in mind as a contingency going forward. So,
yeah, we have the documentation from quotes, but the direction was see if we can drive it a little longer, and we did.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now I need to recess our commissioners' court and convene public hearings in precincts 1 and 2.
Consider and approve posting a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit on Bear Canyon Road. Do we have anybody here today that would like to address that item? I don't believe we do, Judge.
Mr. Riley?
Consider and approve setting a 25-mile-hour speed limit on streets in Montgomery Trace sections 1 through 10, with the exception of a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit on Leah Drive and 45-mile speed limit on Fish Creek Thoroughfare. Anyone here like to discuss that issue?
The section of Fish Creek that goes.
Mr. Tibbs, would you step to the. There's a lot of people listening online that can't hear when it's not at the microphone.
You know, the section of Fish Creek that goes through section 2 and 3 has always been 35. Are you talking about increasing it to 45?
No, sir.
Just the other part of it?
Just the other part.
All right, bueno.
Wait. I think Mr. Tibbs agreed with you.
So it's just you're talking
about another, something else.
What's going on today? All right. No other comments. Okay, now we'll adjourn our public hearing and reconvene Commissioner's Court. And we'll entertain a motion to take action. Do we need action on both of those, PD?
Yes, we need action on both.
Okay.
I move on 17A and B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioner Precinct 1.
Consider and approve creating position that's a part-time labor effective 7/29, budget at $22,000 annually. Amount needed for 17, $4,694.87. Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Consider and approve the creation of a part-time clerk. Budget at $1,508, $20 per hour, effective July 29th. Prorated amount for the remainder of the fiscal year, $6,259.83. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item three, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on naming new director for the Conroe North Houston Regional Airport to fill position being vacated by retirement of current director Scott Smith. Scott's leaving Friday.
Congratulations.
Mr. Brown has been, Scott's been running James through the hoops out there for a month, couple of months, getting him ready for this director job. And I think we're very, very fortunate to have James to fill in when Scott leaves. Obviously, Scott, it's some big shoes to fill. Director of the Year for the state of Texas is pretty heavy. Scott, we want to thank you for everything that you've done. And James, we'd like to welcome you aboard. And I would move that we appoint James Brown as the new director of the airport upon Scott's retirement.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Scott, we wish you well in your retirement. Congratulations on that, and thank you for all you've done for the Montgomery County. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. James, congratulations. Precinct 4, Commissioner Clark.
At this time, I want to receive and discuss the Citizens Budget Committee report. Mr. Yalick, you prepared to...
And Amy, this is not an action item. This is just a report item. No vote on it.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you all for the opportunity to address you. I'm Reagan Reed, the Republican Precinct Chair and resident of Precinct 1. And I'm also chairman of the General Administration Subcommittee for the Citizens Budget Committee. I want to especially thank Commissioner Clark for putting us on the agenda, and thank you all for your time. This February, the Republican Party Executive Committee of Montgomery County passed a resolution basically recommending that commissioners significantly cut the county budget for this year and also increase funding for law enforcement, in addition to implementing a 20% homestead exemption. Y'all have done the homestead exemption, and so now we're asking you to cut the budget significantly, as the party asked. And so it's just been a concern that, despite the fact that the Republican Party supports only growing spending in proportion to population growth with inflation, spending for this county has grown by 424% since the year 2000, while the population has only grown 84%. That's in comparison to the federal government, who's only grown spending about 232%. And so we are actually growing our budget and growing spending at a rate that is higher than the federal government, which is a really mind-boggling concept. So to that effect, the Citizens Budget Committee, which is composed of citizens from every single region, every commissioner precinct of this county, has met for the past 5 months. We divided into four subcommittees to address different areas of the budget. We reviewed every single line in every department of the county budget. And I can personally attest to the very hard work that every member of this committee and our chairman put into this process. We were very thorough in what we looked at. And so as a result, we met with several department directors, county departments, and two commissioners, and we reviewed thousands of pages of county documents. Our conclusion of this process was a $307 million budget with $29 million of internal service funds. The total waste that we found in the budget, which we can cut, resulted in a total savings for the county taxpayers of $24.2 million, very substantial amount, in line with the Republican Party's recommendation. And so many of those cuts came from the general administration part of the budget, which I oversaw. And so some of our findings, in a nutshell, we believe that the county is overstaffed, but that employment reductions should come through attrition over time. For management efficiency, we've recommended that the Commissioners' Court move the Risk Management Department into the Human Resources Department, make it more efficient, more streamlined. Also, by transferring some of the functions between the County Treasurer and County Auditor, we believe that the county can resolve a lot of problems and come into compliance with House Bill 1930, which Governor Abbott signed into law in May to require counties to follow generally accepted accounting principles. We also believe that the county needs to address salaries on a department-by-department approach. While we've recommended overall reductions in some departments, we believe that the department directors should investigate salaries in their departments and look for where those cuts can be made. And so that's just a short summary. I believe that each of you have been presented with the full report, and so that would conclude the general administration section of the Citizens Budget Committee. Thank you all.
Thank you for your time.
Quick question. Was there a methodology used? Because in looking at it, I saw where a lot of it was basically reduction in personnel. Was there a methodology used in reduction of personnel?
There was, and our chairman, Mike, could get into this into more depth, but we looked at what other counties were paying personnel comparable to what our county was. We looked at what people were being paid in the private sector for comparable jobs. And so, we didn't have an exact formula, but generally we compared with other counties in the private sector.
I was
sector.
Thinking more along some of it looked like it was removing positions or eliminating positions through attrition, you'd mentioned. I don't know if there was a methodology that you used to determine the number of people necessary in departments, or was that just an estimate?
I think our chairman could speak more to that.
Judge DeWall, just to answer your question, one thing we did look at, the PDQs for every department, mm-hmm. and we looked at the functions of each position with respect to those PDQs. Where there was duplication, we didn't look for a cut, because obviously, people are on vacation or unavailable. Where there's what you would call a triplication, where there's three people doing the same function, that's where we look for elimination of a position.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Is there someone else making a presentation?
Yes.
I'm assuming that you approved this budget? Are you in favor of these recommendations?
I just will put them on the budget to present it to the court.
Okay. I know that they discussed it with two commissioners. I assume that it was you and Commissioner Nowak. Weren't they doing most of this at your office?
They met at my office two or three times. Yeah.
Came to my office and asked some questions. I just provided information.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Judge, commissioners, I'm Bob Bagley. I'm the chairman of the Community Services Committee. As a committee, our goal has been to reduce county spending while not reducing the county services. Certain county departments, however, should be self-containing. As we saw, the Civic Center, the fairgrounds, and the airport, we're constantly budgeting things, giving them money, and they're bringing money back in. If it looks from what we were seeing that they could be self-sustaining, and we wouldn't have to go through the process, they wouldn't have to come in constantly. There's a couple of things that I have a problem with being on this committee. Number one, as a veteran, I wanted to stand back and say we're not going to eliminate any funds from veterans, but we did not eliminate any of the funds from Veteran Services. And we made a minor reduction in the animal shelter budget, but it's essentially the same budget as last year's. In long term, we're looking at the possibility of running the shelter like Denver and on Austin, where they're more privatized than what we are, getting away from the taxpayers' dollars going into it. Likewise, we made only very small reductions in some of the health services. We found that the law library should transfer to the Memorial Library System, and we believe long term that libraries should be turned over to the school districts to be running instead of being a county responsibility, since we have libraries in every one of the schools. And also that the Historic Commission should transition to 100% private funds There's clearly enough community support that we feel for that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bill O'Sullivan, The Woodlands. My responsibility was the road and bridge. I'm going to speak today not as others as are to overspending, but this county's history of underplanning. It manifests itself in many areas, but most evidently in perhaps the key direct responsibility of county commissioners, roads and bridges. This was proven 3 years ago this September with the release of the South County Mobility Study by the Houston-Galveston Area Council, HGAC. That study cost $600,000, with half paid for by HGAC, with the balance picked up by various taxing entities in an act of enlightened cooperation. The study revealed the need for $1.6 billion of new roads for the mobility needs of South County over the next 25 years. Mobility is important because it creates the means of movement of both people and product, particularly through the densely populated areas that define South County. The size of this need is damning on what this county has been doing for the past 30 years. It's a monument to ineptitude. Only 25% of the county has a true mobility plan, where both the thoroughfare roads and the secondary roads are studied and evaluated for the need for future mobility expansion. The balance of the county needs to partner with HGAC, the county, and the remaining Montgomery County cities to develop an overall county mobility plan. I expect we will find that we are over $2.5 billion behind, including South County. This is where the budget gets involved. We can no longer take funds from our road and bridge budget to apply to another area, whether it be personnel or any other reason. I have been advised that it has been used over the years by commissioners as a slush fund for many other desires. Either budget for those type items or do without. Additionally, stop using the contingency catch-all for unbudgeted items. Create a budget line item called contingency and have a strict definition of rules on accessing it. Because of the horrific shortfall in needed funds for future road and bridge mobility work, all unspent funds at the end of any fiscal year from all accounts need to roll into the road and bridge fund. A very limited special exception can be considered for work in process. You have to get more creative in getting funds from other governmental transportation programs like TIP and STIP. This is particularly important for Precinct 3, where there are no state roads to use as magnets for funds from TxDOT. Additionally, you need to be more creative in coming up with funds. Tolls are a fool's errand. I've shared my personal ideas with Judge Doyle, Senator Creighton, and Representative Keogh with a way to not only do away with sending money to Austin and beg for it back, but also be pay-as-you-go so that we don't find ourselves with $33.6 million in annual debt service. Bankers may not like it, but we're not here to please them. Finally, we need to get the law revised requiring hiring outside engineers on a no-bid basis. Employing engineers as project managers and getting greater utilization from our own engineering department. This all takes resolve. Let us begin today. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Georgette Watley. I live in Precinct 1, and I am the chairman of the Law Enforcement Committee within the Citizens Budget Committee. Our ultimate goal is to reduce taxes by $100 million so that we can give $40 million back to law enforcement and $60,000 back to the taxpayers. It's not going to happen overnight. So I think the proposed numbers and cuts and everything that we have recommended in our Citizens Budget Committee proposal merit serious consideration by the court. Sheriff Henderson's budget was only increased, well, it wasn't even, let me back up, I'm sorry. We didn't do anything to his budget. We proposed that it just gets approved the way he has it. We do request an additional $100,000 for Precinct 4 constable over there for funding for the Internet Crimes Against Children program that he deals with, the drug situation up and down that corridor that's horrible. I believe that's it. I just truly hope that you will take serious consideration to the proposed budget that we have, and feel free to give any of us any calls if you have any questions. Thank you.
Well,
do you have any questions?
Oh, I said thank you.
Oh.
Any other presenters? That's it. Questions or comments, commissioners, that y'all have?
No, I thank you for your time and your information, and I will, as we go through each of the budgets, I'll take it into consideration.
Appreciate y'all's hard work.
I appreciate the effort, too. I just, and as we go through, I think we do necessarily need to look at each and every one of them. But I had a couple of questions that, as I looked through this budget, it struck me. Commissioner Clark, there's a $2.9 million reduction in your budget. You're good with that? That was one of the recommendations. I'm surprised. Tammy McRae, did Tammy leave? She was here. I know that she had planned to cut 5%, which was about $280,000. The recommended cut was $400,000. I'm just kind of curious what...
That wasn't a recommendation on their part. That was a voluntary on my part. That's 2% of my budget I was able to cut back and try to lean up. I knew there were going to be some departments that couldn't come up with a full 5%, so we cut to the bone when we, you know, for next year's operations. That's what I'd offered up.
Judge, actually, that number that you just stated is my fault. It's a typographical error in the report. The actual reduction in Tammy McRae's budget was in the range of about $130,000, not the $411,000.
$411,000 here. I thought that, I don't know how she could get there.
Right.
She's pushing it to get to the $280,000, I think, that she had recommended.
I agree.
I also saw that in elections, you recommended a cut of $612,000.
Yes.
The last election cycle was a pretty tough one. Susie was just here, too. I wish I could ask her what impact cutting $600,000 out of her budget might have. We certainly will need to do that. He recommended taking $8 million out of our capital projects fund. I'm a proponent of a pay-as-you-go program. If we could put together a capital fund out there, we wouldn't have to issue debt going forward. There's a reason that we put that money in there.
Judge, may I just respond to that?
Sure.
What we did, that we took it out, but then we actually put it back in. So that amount that we actually reduced it by was $3 million, not $8 million.
Okay. Well, it's still a reduction, though, that, to me, I'd rather have that capital fund there instead of issuing COs or a debt of any kind for future needs, as our forensic facility or expansion at the animal shelter. Custodial, I saw Lorena is back there. You recommended $803,000 in cuts in the custodial budget. My calculation is just rough. That it ends up to about 36,000 man hour. What would that do to your department, Lorena, if we did that?
Good morning, County Judge and Commissioners. That would pretty much eliminate all of my part-timers, 28 of my part-time custodians, which means that the county facilities are not going to be clean to the expectation that we clean right now. You will be suffering from sick building syndrome during the cold and flu season. Our custodians are not just cleaning the floors and picking up trash. We are in charge of disinfecting all of the high traffic areas facilities, which is, we oversee 104 buildings throughout the county. We have 23, and all this is in my presentation for Thursday. I don't want to be saying things double, but it's catastrophic, the impact. You will be putting not only the county employees at risk, but the public at risk. Why? Because
worried about our offices, but the public areas, I think, would be more concerned.
We have been accommodating growth by reducing frequency in the non-high traffic areas,
okay.
Which are half of the 104 buildings that we service. I look forward to meeting you Thursday.
Great. Law Library, I know we cut, what was it, Jim, almost 90,000 out of that?
Well, we did not fill the Law Library manager position.
2 years ago.
We brought that oversight. We put it under our office for us.
We cut some of that. Has anyone talked to the school districts about the libraries going to the schools? Have you mentioned any of that? I mean,
no, that's something that we need to continue having those conversations between Lone Star and CISD. As you know, I've been working with the township. They have interest in a library or two as we move forward. No matter what
anytime you start to look at making cuts, it's going to be uncomfortable for people. And I think the main point of the presentation today was that our citizens want to have some input in the budget hearings, and I think that I think that's a good thing. I think that we should take that under consideration. Any cuts that are made, obviously, we have to work very closely with the elected official and department heads. We're not in their day-to-day operations. But I would, my opinion is, just when you look at the size of the county and the number of employees, we are a very well-staffed county. I tend to think that as we go through the budget process, I would like to see us adopt a policy where, unless it's law enforcement related, when a position leaves, I think we should consider closing that position. And before it's filled, they should have to come to court and justify that need. We're never going to start to shrink unless we take attrition seriously, and,
oh,
and I think that's a good way to handle it.
And some of the consolidation ideas in here I thought were good. I've been considering some of that anyway. So, but I just looked at some of the numbers to get to $24 million. It's going to change the operations of some of the departments. It may drastically affect the changes of some of the operations of the departments. And the comparison to other counties, I think I found it interesting. In this comparison, it talks about the 424% increase, but if you look at how much of our budget has grown in terms of pass-through since 2000, which is where the number goes back to, all of the money that is spent on the Joe Corley is pass-through from the federal government, housing immigration detainees. The mental health facility, that's $15.8 million at Joe Corley, $15 million a year in our mental health facilities, a pass-through from the state funds that don't touch the county taxpayers' pockets. We had $14 million last year in pass-through for our pass-through program with TxDOT, and about $13 million of that budget is pass-through for law enforcement, where we're funding other entities are funding deputies such as the Woodlands or the San Jacinto River Authority and others. So there's $58 million in our budget that's actually passed through money that's new money since 2000 that does not come from the pockets of the taxpayers. It's funded from other sources, but it shows up as a budgeted item on our budget. So it really kind of skews what our budget looks like if you think about it. And if you take the amount of that $24 million, it sounds good on paper. I'd love to be able to do it, but we have to be able to realistically function as a county government as well. So I'll look at a lot of these ideas, but in the end, we still have to provide services that the community expects. So.
The auditor's recommended budget is $314,589,865. Last year's adopted budget was $352 million. So we are trying to make great strides, and I hope we continue to work together and with the budget committee and the department heads and elected officials to get as lean as we can.
I think we all want to do that. I think every commissioner on this court wants to do that. I just think we need to look at, too, realistically. Some of those numbers are pass-through numbers that inflate it. And when we compare to other counties, I did a quick comparison to Collin County, which is the one that they mentioned here. Collin County is 841 square miles, where we're 1,042. We're 80% unincorporated. They're 4% unincorporated. Sheriff, if you only had to patrol 4% of the county, could you do it cheaper?
Yes, sir.
Sure. I mean, it's a big difference. I mean, you think about the unincorporated portion of the county in Montgomery County, we funded about $789 per person. In Collin County, it's $8,600. So when you look at comparisons to other counties, you got to look at all of the numbers, the real numbers, the numbers that we have to deal with every single day. So while I appreciate the effort that you put forth out there, understand that there's a lot of the things that maybe you don't see everything every day that we do, and we are looking for ways to cut. I think every member of this court is looking for ways to cut, but we may not be able to get to all of the cuts that you guys are suggesting. Commissioners, any other comments? Okay. Human resources.
Gentlemen, please consider and approve the payroll change request form.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Okay, we will now recess our commissioner's court for executive session under Article 551-071, and we'll come back for some other comments if anyone has any later. Reconvene our commissioner's court. There's no action necessary out of executive session. And we'll have our second citizens' comment portion. This will be for items that were not on today's agenda. So if there's anyone that would like to make a comment about an item that was not on today's agenda, I do have one individual that signed up, Ms. Cheryl Langley. Is Cheryl Langley still with us? Okay. I know, Jody, you had expressed an interest to make a comment. Don't sound so excited about that. Okay.
Bob Bagley, Precinct 4. The lady that spoke or was going to speak was a little nervous. I think when y'all went into recess, decided to leave. But she lives in Walden and was talking back there about their concerns about the flooding in Walden and the lack of drainage being taken care of properly by the county. And then the HOA, I guess, saying that they don't have responsibility. And then the county says they don't have responsibility and homeowners are losing their homes and their valuable assets. So it's just it's an ongoing problem that we have in the county. It's running rampant throughout East County. And then we know of Walden and recently that whole surrounding area. So it's just, that's why she was going to speak and left.
Thank you.
Anyone else that would like to address? Mr. O'Sullivan.
Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands. Just briefly, earlier in the year when we were going through the whole problem with the animal shelter, maybe it was at the end of last year, one of the items which was needed was an x-ray machine. And it's for, we have three veterinarians, we have no x-ray. And it's something that can be used a lot there. You have a lot of situations where you're bringing animals in for accidents or whatever. So I would hope that you would take a look in the money that's left over. And I've mentioned this already to Aaron, and hope it's something you can consider. Second thing is about all this exercise relative to spending and cutting and all the rest. At the end of the day, we want to see the cost curve bent down so that 2010 number and increasing by inflation and population growth, that's going to increase. But we would like our expenditure to meet that line at some point. And I don't know if it's 4 years, 8 years, but that should be the goal, to get to that spending line. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Jody. Chuck. All right. Come on, Chuck.
I'll be brief.
My name is Chuck Meyer. I am a citizen of the Woodlands, and I am here today at this point in time to just make a brief comment about the Citizens Budget Committee report. I'd like to thank you all for your hard work. It's evident in the document produced. However, having said that, I'm a little concerned that the librarian was not consulted about the cuts to the library budget. I happen to be a member of the Citizens Committee, the advisory board, appointed by Commissioner's Court to advise the librarian. And while we have had many discussions about how to run the library system more efficiently, it would have been nice to have been, at least as a member of the board, to have been asked our opinions, because we do routinely advise the librarian about more efficient ways and reducing costs in the library. So while I very much appreciate the effort, and I think that there are many recommendations in this budget that you all should consider, before you take action on the library's budget in particular, I wish that you would allow those members of the advisory board to address some of the ideas that we have. And one of those, actually, one of my ideas, was to create an entity that would have membership from the various school boards to oversee the budget. But I think that would require legislation in order to do so. And it's an out-of-the-box idea, but I think it's worth exploring. So thank you for your time.
Chuck, thank you for your comments. Ms. Runnable. Apologize for my allergies. I'm not crying because you're speaking.
I'm Jody Rudavar, and I'm from East Montgomery County. And, Judge, you know I don't like to speak very much. I'm addressing the budget. As an election official, when you address the elections budget, remember that election officials don't get paid very much. And as all of you are elected officials, it's the grassroots people, as myself and my folks over there in East Montgomery County, the 16 precincts that I reside over as an elected appointed official by Dr. Wally Wilkerson as Southeast Area Chair, we get paid a bare minimum, and most of us donate it back to the Republican Party. We do that out of the kindness of our heart to make sure that y'all stay in the seats that y'all are in. We do have to beat the bushes for people to come and work on Election Day. Most of us work short-staffed. We don't get lunch breaks. We don't get water breaks. And we have to go, time out, I'm going to make a bad dash to the restroom because our bladders can't hold very much. So with that, take that in consideration when y'all go chopping that budget, because we have to beat bushes and work with people that are in their 60s, 70s, and get cushions for them to sit on all day. And those are 12 to 15-hour days that they sit and check people in that are not very nice. They're come and get pointed to precincts that they don't vote in. And last election, I did 26 provisional votes. And if you've never done a provisional vote, that's like buying a car. And it takes a lot of time. It takes the judge away from duties that are needed to be done elsewhere. And of those 26 provisional votes, only one person went and proofed their vote. So when you cut that budget, remember that person is only getting paid $8.50 at best as a judge. So when you cut that budget, we need a raise. It would help get people to work on Election Day to keep you in your seats or anyone else that is an elected person. So when you go to cut that budget, remember those elected officials that work at grassroots level need a little bump in their pay.
Okay,
so
appreciate your comments.
We appreciate
Thank you for what you do out there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I know y'all work very hard.
Well, some of us are getting close to retirement because it's gotten so nasty as far as we're reading on the Internet. So that's why I don't read the news, I don't read the newspaper, and I don't read what's half on the Internet anymore because it's gotten so nasty. And
I've
I appreciate.
Noticed.
Yeah, have you noticed that? Yeah, I delete most of it. So I appreciate what you guys do, and I've spoken before this committee. It was back in several years ago, but thank you, gentlemen, for your
thank
time.
You, thank you. Thank you.
Oops.
Okay, is there anyone else that did not sign up today that would like to address court on any items that were not on today's agenda? Okay.
All right.
Quickly under miscellaneous, Sylvia, do you want to make a quick comment about the blood drive?
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Okay, so Montgomery County and the City of Conroe are teaming up together to host a voluntary blood drive. This will take place on Monday, July 31st at the City of Conroe Towers, 6th floor, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you come to donate, please bring your donor card and or identification, because you have to have that before you can donate. And you will get a free beach towel.
All right. Thank you so much for doing that.
Absolutely. It's well needed. So I hope to see all of you smiling faces out there. Thank you.
We got a few giving blood.
I was going to say our blood drive may start at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioners?
Move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, now we now need to convene a meeting of our toll road authority and defer any action items.
I move that we defer.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Need a motion to adjourn our
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. We will now convene our budget workshop. And Commissioners, since it's now after 11 o'clock and we really aren't scheduled to start until 1, I'd suggest we go ahead and take our lunch break now, come back here at 1 o'clock and start the budget workshops, unless you guys want to do something different.
Agree.
Okay. We'll see you back here then. We'll stand in recess till 1 o'clock.
Thanks.